This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining us on today's show is Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Mary Ann Kennedy, and in the second half of today's show, we'll visit with Susan and Terry Tomasini of Tomasini Training Center in California. The Campfire Cafe is made possible by great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Grab a cup of coffee and join us, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Mary Ann Kennedy.
Here, and Mary Ann is a good friend who is so multi-talented. She is a great singer and songwriter. She's a for real horsewoman. And Mary Ann, welcome to the show today.
Oh, thanks again for having me, Gary.
Always a joy to have you. And as I was thinking about this show, you've graced us with your presence on several shows since we started Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we've talked a lot about your horsemanship, and we've played a lot of what I would call your horse-themed music. But I was thinking about the fact that a lot of folks just don't realize how successful your career has been as a writer and as a performer in the country music world. And talk to us a little bit, Mary Ann, about how that got started when you came to Nashville.
All right. Let's synopsize 30-plus years. Let's see. I came to Nashville the end of 77 because I remember I heard that Elvis had died shortly after I arrived. And, of course, that was such a heartbreak in the whole musical community in Nashville and around the world. But anyway, I was just led. You know, it's kind of like God was playing checkers. He said, okay, Marianne, you're going to go this at this time, and you're going to meet work with this person, and then you're going to meet this other woman songwriter, and you guys are going to have a really good sound together and develop kind of a legendary career in Nashville. And that's what happened. And even the co-writers that I wrote most of my hits with, absolutely faded and very special relationships. I just didn't hop around and co-write. I had my co-writers were like family. So we developed a sound. Shoot, I had a record deal with Pam Rose and a couple of other friends because we were playing softball for CBS in about 1980 or 81, and the head of CBS Records said, this is a cool concept. We want to have a girls band, and let's come up with a name. You guys sound awesome together, and you're all such characters. Let's call it Calamity Jane. Calamity Jane. And it kind of was a calamity. The name, there's a lot in a name. But it was a fabulous experience. That was my first record deal. And we actually did a version that was a single of the Beatles hit, I've Just Seen a Face, and released it. And we got to tour all over the world and work with so many legends. It was just like a fabulous experience. But I had the pleasure and honor of seeing Sir Paul McCartney in concert just last week here in Music City. And, of course, I was with a friend, and when he did I've Just Seen a Face, it was like, oh, the memories just were flooding, you know. But that was kind of where it all started, and shoot, I could go on and on. The rest, as they say, is history. I guess we'd have to get more specific with when, well, right around the time we got the record deal, I had written, co-written a song with the great Don Goodman, who I still write with and love dearly, and Pam Rose. We got on a roll and wrote a song called Ring on Her Finger, Time on Her Hands. And that was our first single, and it was released by an unknown, Lee Greenwood, who brought it to a top three record. I don't think it got to number one. I think it got to number three. He was a new artist. But the record and the performance was just stellar. And that was, shoot, and, you know, things just don't happen like this anymore, really, in Nashville. Within 3 years of coming down from Wisconsin, I sold my horse to come down here. Now, that tells you how much I was willing to give up to chase my dream.
Right.
Of being, you know, a performer. But within 3 years, I had a record deal and a hit single on country radio that I actually owned the publishing on. And, it's just, wow, I know, kind of just a blessed, really, I had a really, really blessed career.
Well, you told me at one time that one of the things that was so helpful was that you came to town and you met the right people, and you had some really supportive folks. And we'll get the chronology right on this in just a little bit, but that song was co-written with Pam Rose and Don Goodman, and and was a hit. And then it was followed up, I believe, by Dixie Road that Lee Greenwood wrote, or not
Correct.
Wrote, but performed, and was, I think that went to number one, didn't it?
It did, Gary. Yes.
Yeah, it was just a great song. But how did you and Pam meet? Was that on the softball field?
No, actually, we met before that because I came to Nashville. I had met Pete Drake, the great steel guitar player who, you know, that quintessential steel sound is on so many records. George Jones, Tammy Wynette. I remember he took me to Lacey J's first recording session when she first came to town. It was like, holy moly. And the list goes on and on. But he had a publishing company and was, you know, kept his eye out for young budding talent. And Pam had signed there a few years before I came to town. I met him at some jam session when my cousin and I and my family came down to perform as the Little Country Cousins at the Ernest Tubb Record Shop and what we called then the DJ Convention.
Right.
And I met Pete, and he said, send me, you know, some tapes. Of course, back then, you know, it was, I guess we had cassettes. And come down and just show me what you're doing. And he saw potential. So he signed me. And, you know, of course, I started out emptying ashtrays and throwing coffee cups.
Right.
as I hung around for about a year and lived off the little bit of savings I had from selling my horse and saddle. But I had the opportunity to hang out and learn from the pros, what we called the A-team players, because they did tons of sessions at Pete's studio. And that's where I met, Tim Boone. He introduced me to Don Goodman, Pam Rose, and we started singing and writing together. The great Linda Hargrove was a writer there. The list goes on and on. So that's how we met.
Well, it's been a great ride, if you'll pardon the expression, with that partnership. Another song that followed up after Dixie Road was done by Restless Heart. And tell us a little bit about that song.
Well, that song, we had actually, forgive me, I didn't know how to turn off my call waiting for their speak. That song, Del Bryant of BMI, the performing rights organization that we were signed with, told us right around that time, after we had a couple hits, there's another lady who's a brilliant poet, fabulous, eccentric lady with books of lyrics and just so eloquent that Pam and I should meet. And we met with Pat Murch. And the rest there, as they say, is history. We still wrote with Don some, but man, once we, Don had kind of moved on to some other R&B-ish kind of collaborations and stuff. But, and I'm working with Don right now again. And
that's
Pat.
Great. That's great.
It's just because we're like family. And so the love, like I said, the family love and connection is there. But we started writing with Pat and wrote what was the biggest copyright that we had out and have ever had released, and it's I'll Still Be Loving You. Even though all the others may be known more because of certain artists, I'll Still Be Loving You was recorded by Restless Heart, who was a new kind of super vocal band at the time in the mid-'80s. And we were like, man, we really wanted Kenny Rogers to cut that thing, but hey, you know, we had a couple hits and we're, you know, feeling kind of like, oh, maybe we can choose. No,
right.
It doesn't work that way. But I'll tell you what, when we, Scott Hendricks, who's now the head of Warner Brothers and has produced so many, he produces Blake Shelton now, and he's an old friend. He and Tim's last name, because Tim Dubois, because I'm getting old, but Tim Dubois and Scott Hendricks produced a heck of a record on Restless Heart, and they released I'll Still Be Loving You, and it went number one in two charts. I believe it went top 10, even in the top 40. So that was unheard of for a country release to cross over, as they called it. And shoot, I think I have 3 or 4 million air awards hanging on my wall of shame. No, on my wall of fame. in my basement where I have my guest room down there. But it's a fabulous record. And we actually, that was a funny story, and I have to mention Pat and Pam and I were the trio writing team. But Pam and I decided to go over to a young man's house because he had all this cool synthesizer and drum machine stuff that was just coming out. The man's name is Todd Cerny. He was married to Kip Kirby, who worked on the Nashville Network and had interviewed us and was really supportive and a fan of what we did. So we went over to Todd's, and that's how that song was born. And then it sat around on a work tape for a year, and I said, man, none of us are going to hook this lyric. It has to be fabulous. Let's just bring Pat in. So I called Pat and played her the work tape over the phone, which we worked over the phone a lot because we lived about 30 miles apart.
Right.
And kind of talked about the premise. I had the title and lots and some of the chorus, but we had all the melody and the whole chord structure. It was all written musically. Within 20 minutes, Pat Bunch called back with this lyric that you will hear. And we did lose Todd to cancer about 3 years ago. And, of course, Tam and I had the honor of performing I'll Still Be Loving You at his goodbye concert.
Well,
it's a story there.
It's a great song. And by the way, I saw that I saw a video of that performance that you and Pam did. But let's share this song right now with our audience. This is I'll Still Be Loving You, and performed by Restless Heart. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard worldwide online.
I'm amazed every day.
I'll Still Be Loving You by Restless Heart, and that was written by, co-written by Marianne Kennedy. And Marianne, that song is just as great today as it was when it was first recorded.
Thank you. I just that song is, you know, that when you hit. I mean, of course, there's a pop sensibility to that song. It's not quote country. I guess the most country thing about it was that the band was a contemporary country band. And it's just, the lyric is so fabulous, and it's all heart. But, yeah, that song is timeless. And it's been recorded quite a few times. It needs to be recorded again and released, you know, because it's been a long time. And
right.
So it is time for one of the new artists to re-release that baby. Because it would make us very happy. And the song, like I said, it warrants it.
Well, it really does. I mean, there's some songs that just, as you said, are timeless. I mean, they just mm-hmm. are forever great songs. And so that's...
Yeah,
that's
and like I said, hey, this is no brag, just fact. You know, I'm saying, I'm not like, oh, it's, you know when you've hit those few golden copyrights. And I've, you know, had the honor of being a part of a handful of those in my career. And that's definitely one.
Right. Well, it's a great song. And I want to jump ahead just a little bit. Now, I want to get the chronology right on this.
Okay.
You and Pam
mm-hmm.
were connected with Sting and
right.
part of a label that he did. And you were called Kennedy Rose, which I thought was just much easier to relate to than Rose Kennedy, and people
mm-hmm.
didn't get confused that way. But
right.
What period of time was that?
Well, actually, we had had a few of our hits already. I'll Still Be Loving You, you know, the Lee Greenwood things, and quite a few cuts and other singles, like a Crystal Gayle single, Janie Fricke, Bailey and the Boys, you know. We were really kind of hitting our stride
mm-hmm.
as writers. And, of course, we performed on lots of those records because we did have that quintessential sound. I had the mandolin thing going on that was just a certain kind of sound. But during that time, before the Sting connection came about, we were working with Emmylou Harris, the great
okay.
Emmylou. Came to Nashville from California, and of course we were all such huge fans, and she was such an influence on all of us. And I knew every inflection and every note, and I knew her voice like my own, and Pam did too, because we were such fans. Well, she came to Nashville, and even though we were doing well as writers, and you know. Decent income and kind of on a roll. When we heard that Emmylou Lou was going to come to Nashville with her hot band, and this time for a certain tour of an album that she had written, hire two gal backup singers to come out on the road with her, we were standing in line. And we were over at Warner Brothers, I'll never forget it, and oh, there must have been, I suppose she heard a couple hundred people. And we went upstairs and sang with her, and I'll never forget that moment. And we walked out, and I told Pam, I said, we got it. She's like, how do you know? I'm like, did you hear us, our voices with her? Because, you know, Emmy didn't, she was stoic and sweet, but didn't let anything, let the cat out of the bag.
Right.
And I said, we got it. It was just too magical. And sure enough, a few days later, she called us. So we went on the bus with the hot band and did a tour, the Ballad of Sally Rose tour, is how our relationship started, and went all over the country. I guess that would have been 19, perhaps 85 or 86.
Okay.
And so we did that for a year or two, and that's how we began our long, you know, to this day, friendship and working relationship with Emmy. But during that time, we continued to work on our sound as a duo and just our songwriting. And that's when a mutual friend, lo and behold, said, I know Sting, and he's starting a label, and he's going to love what you do. He's going to sign you. And we're like, okay. You know, sure, Sting. Really? We're a couple of chicks from Nashville.
Right.
And sure enough, that happened. And he signed us, I believe, 89 or 90, because we released our first record in 91. For him. We did two records for Sting and got to tour all over the world with him. In fact, I'll never forget, Emmy came down to Atlanta to watch us. We opened for Sting, and then we'd go on stage at the end and sing background on Every Breath You Take and close out the show. And Emmy came down to Atlanta to see us perform with Sting. I mean, again, just, cherished golden memories.
Well, they were great. And actually, if you go back and kind of search on YouTube, you can find some of those performances of Kennedy Rose. And you ladies were just as hot back then as you are now. I mean, you were just hot-looking duo, and I saw one where you were just wearing some bongos or some kind of drums out on there. So, you know
the
one I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yes, I'm the percussion. You mean with Emmy?
No,
Kennedy
Rose. Yeah.
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 Kennedy
Rose. I
did the stand-up drum thing, and you know, on our record, especially the first record, we pretty much played everything. It was our demos that we had worked on our own, you know, called demonstration records, demos. And
right.
We knew we couldn't beat, there's that phrase, can't beat the demo. We
right.
knew we would not recapture the magic that was in those demos. So we just transferred them and enhanced them. And in fact, Sting had us come up to New York and really wanted to have a shot at redoing a song called Leave in Line that we co-wrote with Pat. That's just a very beautiful, melancholy breakup song. And we worked in his studio in his brownstone he was renting while he was doing Three Penny Opera up in New York. And we worked for a couple days and gave it our best, and finally Sting turned around and said, you know, we were listening to a playback of what he created, and we sang on it, and he said, this is not happening.
Oh.
He said, I want you girls to go back to Nashville and make your record.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I know, wow is all I can say to that.
Wow.
Yeah. So
well,
again,
that's okay, because you've done a lot of great stuff. I mean, you know, I'm glad you came back to Nashville.
Well, and we were living here, but he meant I can't make a better record than you guys can.
Okay.
Which, again, as a first-time artist, but we had worked many years on developing our chops, as you say, as they say, and
right.
our sound in the studio. So, anyway, still, that was like an ultimate compliment.
Right. Well, listen, you've also recorded with a lot of other artists. One of the songs that we want to share with folks right now is one called Safe in the Arms of Love that Martina McBride did, and you and Pam are singing backup on this. And you've done quite a few cuts with her, haven't you?
On that same record, she cut a song called off of our first record, Kennedy Rose record, called High Two, but she cut a beautiful love ballad called Born to Give My Love to You. And that's also on that same record that she singled. I believe Wild Angels was a single and Safe in the Arms were the big singles off that CD when Martina was just really hot. So it was a great cut for us.
Yeah, this is a beautiful song. You also were on Independence Day, and I think probably her first hit single as well.
Correct, singing backups, yes.
Yeah. So let's take a listen to Safe in the Arms of Love, and you'll hear Mary Ann and Pam singing backup on this song by Martina McBride. When we come back, Mary Ann, let's talk a little bit about how you made the transition to the type of music today that so many of our audience are familiar with. But right now we're going to listen to Safe in the Arms of Love. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard worldwide online.
No.
I can
Thanks,
hear you
Gary.
Back there. You have contributed.
That low harmony.
Yeah, you have contributed so much to the music industry in Nashville. And with the songs that you've written and performing with some of these great artists that you've performed with. And at what point was it, Mary Ann, that you started maybe focusing more on the horse, I'm going to call it the horse type music that we're
mm-hmm.
so familiar with today?
Well, through the 90s, I had, you know, Safe in the Arms, Ring on Her Finger, re-released by Reba and a few other cuts. That's when I met Kathy Mateo, cut a neat song, and I got to sing on the mic background to my own song with Michael McDonald on the Kathy Mateo cut.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
wow.
You know, just many other neat opportunities and situations that were, you know, just kind of, like I said, if I ever could write a memoir, it would be really interesting because I feel like God was smiling on me and Tammy and for Don and Pat. We just did hit a magical time and, you know, getting to go to the Grammy Awards twice and be there when Prince was the big buzz and coming out and get to watch Michael Jackson on stage about 30 feet from us performing Man in the Mirror. Anyway, all that stuff was still going on throughout those years. And then it was the time where I lost my beloved spotted saddle horse who I had raised. He was actually born when I was on tour with Sting when I was in Germany, and I said, I could be gone any time except May. Well, I had to go to Germany to sing with Sting, and that's when my little colt was born. Anyway,
right.
Raised him. I didn't know about horsemanship, what I know now, so I got some help starting him and raised him, and he was a wonderful ride for about 8 or 9 years, and started getting metabolic syndrome, and he was my teacher. And many of the vets and folks out there did not know what we know now about the danger of these grasses,
right.
Especially here in the Southeast, and all that stuff was still. Anyway, you get metabolic syndrome, and nobody could figure it out, and I wasn't told how to manage it. And anyway, I ended up losing him. I let him go because he was so badly foundered. And again, he was my teacher, and now I know so much more about it. It's not always the case to let one go, but sometimes it is, depending
right.
on the situation, as you know, and the severity of the founder. So I lost him, and then my little pug, who is in so many of the pictures and went on the bus with Emmy Lou, and she was like my little buddy, Choi. They have the same birthday, and Tonka and Choi. Well, when Tonka died, 4 days later, and Choi was getting old, she died. So it was a very, very powerful gift time that I had those two animals. They were like my soul animals during that chapter of my life. And then they left the planet at the same time. And it was just so poignant, and I was so full of emotion, and I started writing some songs about those feelings. And that was when I wrote Choi's song. And that's when I wrote the one about Tonka called I Wish I Had a Horse. And also, that's when I had just awakened to this wonderful kind of horsemanship. We'll call it natural horsemanship, for lack of a better term, because that's the coined term.
Right.
When I went to the Ray Hunt Clinic, then I rode with Buck, who I just saw last weekend here.
You had a good week last week.
Woo! And then I did. And then I decided to study the Pirelli program. And that was when everything changed. All that happened around that time. So then the natural consciousness of horsemanship was also a theme for that record. So I had written a few songs. I was so moved by the new knowledge of honoring the horse and becoming a new student of true horsemanship that I wrote The Trail Less Traveled, and that's what I titled my first record. My friend said, "Marianne, you have a few songs here, but come on. You have got to understand that this is powerful and make it a record and let the world hear this stuff." So they encouraged me, and I did. And I released it in 2002, 2 years after I lost Choi and Tonka. Mm-hmm. So that's also when I had been studying my Pirelli program, and that's the year that the first year that I went to what we called then Savvy Days, which I just went to, we called Savvy Conference now,
right.
But got to meet Patlin in person and sing and sell my CDs there and sing The Trail Less Traveled for Pat at a private party. And so that was all the birth of the ongoing last 10, 11 years of making this music from the heart about horses and the animals that we share our lives with.
Well, we love the music, and I've told you before, it will make you laugh and it will make you cry and it'll lift your spirits, and it's just great, great music that you continue to write and share with us. We want to play one right now, and I can't believe that we are almost here at Christmas, not that far off. And
I know.
Yeah, just, you know, and just almost 60 days from now, it will be Christmas Eve. But this is a great song that you released called Hoofprints in the Snow. And we want to play this, and we want to remind our folks that on Equestrian Legacy's website, on our EquestrianLegacy.net website, we have a Christmas shop that's going to be opening November 1st. And you'll be able to shop for the horse lovers in your family there. And I think you'll see some of Marianne Kennedy's music on the Christmas shop. But right now, let's listen to Hoofprints in the Snow. And when we come back, we'll talk with Marianne Kennedy some more. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Hoofprints in the snow, the most lovely sight I know. When the trails have all turned white, I can't wait to take a ride. On this holy morn, when Christ was born, all God's creatures know it's Christmas. Let's make hoofprints in the snow. Whitewashes our soul. Seems we notice all the night that always fills our life. On this holy day, love leads the way, and we all follow. It's Christmas. Let's make hoofprints in the snow. I can't wait to take a ride. on this holy morn when Christ was born. All God's creatures know it's Christmas. Let's make footprints in the snow. Let's make hoofprints in the snow.
Hoofprints in the snow, and gee, I hope that we don't see a whole lot of snow here in the mid-state, but... If we do, we'll watch for those hoof prints. Marianne, where can folks get this music now?
Well, there are different places, but the easiest way to do it is just to go, like you say, you're going to offer it on your store
right.
for the holidays. You can link through there, but it's just going to my website, which is just MarianneKennedy.com. And you can listen to the little snippets. And then it'll take you to a fulfillment site called CD Baby. Very easy to buy online, downloads, or the physical CDs. So that one, that Christmas song, is only available as a download. So, but everybody's into that now, so that's the way to do it. And there is a special on the box stall set. So check that out, because it's a really good deal on all five CDs.
And I just love that. I mean, I love a box stall set. So that's I love that. You know, this music and this horse community have been great to be able to connect with so many different people across the country. And I know that our next guests are going to be joining us. You met in California, and we're going to talk with them in just a few minutes. We'll be visiting with Susan and Terry Tomasini when we come back for our next segment. But this was the first hit for you, wasn't it? Ring on Her Finger?
It was.
This was the first big hit. That was one that Lee Greenwood did, and then later on Reba did it on her 1995 CD, Starting Over. And so we're not going to say goodbye to you. But we're going to take a listen to Ring on Her Finger. And when we come back, Marianne will be joining us as we talk with Susan and Terry Tomasini in California. Again, you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. This is Ring on Her Finger.
You're the only one who knows just how hard I tried. I had a
welcome to the show, Susan and Terry Tomasini. And Susan and Terry, how are you?
We are great, thank you. We're really excited about, first of all, talking with Mary Ann again. I haven't seen her for a year and a half on our show, getting to know each other in front of
right.
the hat stand. So,
oh, yeah.
yeah, I'm really excited here just to share a little bit of my passion. And I'm sitting here wiping away the tears because whenever Mary Ann sings any of her songs, the tears flow. And there's a couple songs I can't even listen to because it's so emotional, like Choice song. So, yeah, it's hitting now. Thank you.
Well, she does. And I told Mary Ann several months ago, there's one of the songs from one of her albums that I just selected that for my going away celebration. So I haven't been able
wow.
to play that one yet on the air, but it's just beautiful wow. songs that she does. So they'll make you cry, they'll make you laugh, and they'll make you
yep.
feel good. So, but anyway, first of all, let's talk about, we're going to talk about soft feel today, and we're going to talk about your philosophy, Susan. But how did you and Mary Ann meet for the first time?
There was an event called Light Hands Horsemanship in Santa Ynez at the end of May. There were seven of them. Mary Ann and I met a year and a half ago there. Of course, we're shoppers at heart, I think. And I had a little saddle stand, and she was talking with me about the saddles, and then we were looking at these hats, which are right next to us. And these hats are a work of art. So we were saying, well, I said, do I want a black one, a white one? And we went back and forth, and what do you remember, Marianne?
Oh, we were just like little shopaholics going, I don't know. Well, what do you like? I don't know. I like the flat brim kind of a Carol one, but gosh, what color? And then we were trying on all these hats. And what color do you think looks better on me? Oh, I think the beige washes me out. Oh, no, black really washes me out. Anyway, so we were just kind of like a regular couple little shopping cowgirls and
yeah.
We went through that whole process together, and the kicker, remember, Susan?
Yeah.
The kicker
is... Did we
get
the same color?
That we
what?
Both got the exactly same hat.
Yes, we did.
Oh, wow.
We got the
wow.
same hat. It's sitting
wow.
on my wall. I'm looking at it. I know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm saving up my money for the next 10 years to get another one, but...
Oh,
well, let me tell you, when Terry and I talked a few months ago, he said, let me tell you about what they spent on these hats out there shopping.
Well, you got to understand, and all the horsemen will tell you. Now, you got to ride a heck of a great saddle. You got to have
yep.
great tack, and you've
yep.
got to have a great hat. So,
you do.
But this is, and while we're talking about this hat, Susan, I did want to put in a plug for Kevin. Because he is an artist, and folks, anyone who does want to splurge, I mean, this is pure beaver. It's light as a feather, but it's total beaver felt, and of course,
mm-hmm.
it's custom fitted to your head and everything else. And he does absolutely stellar work, and it's
he does
KJ Murphy,
right?
So
right.
I guess it's KJ Murphy. .com, but if you just Google KJ Murphy's hats.
Yeah, hats. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your name is written in gold in the band, and it truly is a work of art. You put it on, you don't even know the hat's on there, so it's,
I'm
yeah.
telling you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And oh, yeah, I can't say enough good things. Like, I agree.
Well, it's always interesting when ladies meet when they're shopping, so that's pretty cool. But, hey, Susan, tell us a little bit about, Terry's with us, isn't he?
Yes,
yeah,
he is.
Yeah, I'm sitting yep. here, and I was observing all of this breaking into a slightly cold sweat, and my little comment is, folks, as folks ask me, are you retired yet? My usual comeback is my wife has horses, and we just continue the conversation, so.
Well,
he's not retiring, no.
And when they write your name in gold inside of a hat, you better keep working, I guess. So that's
yeah, you yeah. got you can't not time to retire.
That's,
well,
that's
yeah. Mary Ann mentioned the you've got to have great tack and great saddles and great hats and what all. And Susan's going to be talking about her philosophy of riding in soft feel and bringing classical elements in. We're probably about 10 days away from getting Susan's dream saddle that she's been saving up for. It's actually coming from Europe. It's been made on some of the classical trees that were developed in the 15th and 16th century. And she was introduced to these people. Some of you folks know Jeff Sanders, who's really a real deal vaquero cowboy. And Jeff hooked Susan up with this character, and the saddle has just been completed and just being shipped. So, again, that's another reason I'll be working for a few more years.
I'm worth it.
Well, I'm sure you are.
That's exciting. I can't wait to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Terry, while we've got you talking, tell us a little bit about your background. I think you told me that you kind of grew up on a ranch out there.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Family's had a little ranch in Northern California since the mid-1800s. And it's a little cow-calf operation. My dad actually was a full-time banker in a little town, but we were born and raised there and had enough cattle to at least pay the taxes. So I was always around livestock, cattle, horses, and what all, but I never took riding seriously or passionately or developed riding skills to anywhere near the level that Susan has, nor am I as gifted as she is. So I've sort of taken all that and faded into the background as her silent business partner, you know, booking clinics and lessons and doing the website and things such as that. So, as they say, a talented horsewoman's husband needs to know his place. The sooner the better.
I met Terry on a blind date at UC Davis, and I said, I'm going to marry somebody who's a cowboy. He shows up at my door with a belt buckle, Wrangler jeans, a checkered shirt, and a huge smile. I went, that's him. I know. Almost 40 years now, so pretty cool.
That's great.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well, tell us, Susan, tell us a little bit about your background. How'd you get started with horses?
I was born in Chicago. Out of the womb, I loved horses to my whole family's distaste, and, you know, saved little money here and there to take horseback riding lessons. When I was 12, we moved to Southern California. I bought my first horse for $150, and I would clean stalls. I would ride anything that anybody would let me sit on. And it was just a constant uphill battle, just financially. But there was always something someone couldn't ride, and I could help them out. When I was 19, I went to England to Porlock Vale Riding School and got a British Horse Society Assistant Instructor's degree, where we did fox hunting and riding all the time. And that really gave me a really good start. UCLA, I worked my way through UCLA by riding other people's horses and giving some few lessons. And then when I was 24, I was just laid off from the airlines. I was a flight attendant. And I went to Mexico City to visit my sister. Ended up staying a year riding probably about 5 to 6 horses a day. In Mexico, when you had horses, you were either very wealthy or very poor. Well, I was on the up-end side of things. Never touched a saddle or a bridle. And they just brought me one horse after the other and showed them on the weekends. And it was there I learned from a master horseman, where there was a saying in Spanish called por la buena, which means for the good of the horse, for the kindness. And every time I say that, I get kind of choked up.
I love that.
These horses give us everything we ask for. And I would, you know, jumping 6 feet, blah, blah, blah. So then it was time for me to get married. I wrote a letter, and Terry responded, and went to back to the U.S., and I started riding jumpers then, big horses, big fences, and then I took time off to have children, and when my 40s, I was given a horse, and I found out about natural horsemanship, just like Mary Ann, and I went through the Pirelli program, and immediately went back and apologized to all my horses for the things I had done incorrectly, yeah. And since then, it's all history. It's all been uphill. It's been a passion I've had that, you know, it's, yes, my horse, my God is first, my husband comes second, but boy, those horses sure come second. So
sometimes
I'm very grateful.
Depending on Terry's mood, the horses might move up a notch.
Yeah, exactly. No, Marianne, you know that's hard. I'm going to ride my horses, forget the things you said to me. I sing that song daily.
Yeah. I'm going to ride my pony. It's the relationship. Hey, the horses are saving our marriage, honey.
Yeah.
No, I'm teasing.
And you notice I'm not defending myself.
No, it's okay.
No, you're not, because we've hung out, and I'm teasing.
Well, you're a wise man. I understand how you've been married so long now, because you're very wise. But
I don't want anybody else. He's too cute, you know.
Sure is. Yeah.
Well, when did you get Susan? When did you get involved in the light hands horsemanship and the soft feel?
In my late 50s, I heard about Eitan Beth Lachmi, who's the founder of Cowboy Dressage. I saw a video of him riding while I was at a Jack Brainerd conference. And I saw him ride, and again, the emotional side of me, I just broke out in tears. I said, I have to have that. I have to have what he has with those horses. So I started taking lessons from him, going up, spending a week at horsemanship. And like I said, God's given me a real gift with horses, not to mention the intensity that I study this on my own for years and years and years. And Eitan saw something there, and when he started the organization of Cowboy Dressage World, he chose me along with Lynn Ringrose Moe and Garn Walker, who are very prominent trainers. But here at that time I was an amateur, pretty much just doing things on my own. And he recognized that, and he included me in the four founding partners.
Yeah.
So that's where we started talking about the terminology, what we were doing. And one of the terminologies, the basic vision of Cowboy Dressage, is soft feel. It's the language of lightness in the conversation between horse and rider. Soft feel doesn't mean loopy reins. It means sending messages back to the horse through the reins, seat, and your legs, and all your aids that the horse can understand, but also receiving the messages that the horse sends back so you know how to converse with the horse. Those horses will try everything if they understand what you're talking about. And most people don't take the time to allow the horse to understand what they're asking. And that's what it's all about. That's my passion, to make the world better for the horse, to honor the horse, to do what's good for the horse first. We, as the more dominant, bigger brain people, entity, creatures, we have to come down to the level of the horse and respond to his heart and his willingness to do things for us. And we reward the slightest try, just like Tom Dorrance, Ray Hunt, reward that slightest try, reward that, and make it a progressive approach to training our horses. Training your horses does not take a month or 30 days or 90 days. It takes years. Mm-hmm. And it's the journey there that's what's enjoyable. I have my greatest moments when I'm schooling my horses in the arena all by myself, and that horse gives me some great little movement which he couldn't before. And that's what it's all about.
Yay.
I know. And there's this one horse that I got 17 years ago. He was a three-year-old. No one wanted him. He was skinny, just was a real renegade. And I had just lost a horse because I had to sell him. And the horse foundered severely and died. And the only reason that this horse foundered, because I was no longer his owner, and three vets came and shrugged their shoulders. And so here I lost Caleb just due to some unfortunate circumstances. And a year later, I said, I'm giving up horses. I can't do this anymore. I want this, and I can't get it happening. Well, then this bay horse showed up for almost nothing, and he's the one who I've taken on to do some fabulous things with. His name is Bay Jude, and I did a freestyle a couple of years ago in one of the first Cowboy Dressage shows that they had. And I had some stiff competition, and I won my first buckle fair and square with this horse. And to this day, it was a perfect performance. It was on YouTube. You can all see it. And since then, we've done more. Yeah, where this horse just does, he gives me everything. So, yeah. So that's that.
That's that.
Oh, I want to see that ride. I want. Yeah. We just Google it. YouTube.
You can Google Susan. YouTube Susan Tomasini, Cowboy Dressage Freestyle. There are actually three of them, because I did one 2 years ago, and then last year in November, I did two more at Rancho Murrieta during the finals, which were, again, when I got out there. Sometimes you do. I've done some freestyles where I go out there and the horse says, I'm not into this. And I just kind of leave the arena saying, well, I hope no one saw that one. But these last two, last two were back to back. And I had people come up to me afterwards saying, I just cried through the whole thing. Well, guess what? I cried through the whole thing, too, because I knew how right on it was. And that little horse just gave me everything. So
Susie, if I could break in just a second. The easiest thing, and I'll give a little plug for your website, to see all these things, Susan's website is thomasinitrainingcenter.com, and you can just Google that. And there's a tab called Galleries, and there's links to the YouTube videos and photos and things such as that, and that's a very nice way to do it. And you'll also notice
great.
That a couple of the videos she has out there, she's writing to Marianne songs. We love to play music during our clinics and our lessons and, of course, the freestyles. And more times than not, it's Marianne's music that we're introducing.
Yes, and I'm glad I have you on the phone, Marianne. I want a song just for Bay Jude and me, so I can do that freestyle to that. You'll see.
We're going to have to talk about that because you said that Spanish phrase, I thought I'm going to have to call Susan and talk more about that. That's beautiful.
Yeah,
but we'll have to talk.
We'll definitely have to talk.
Yeah, well, we're going to.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The one song that I sang to the rhythm of the ride, it was during the break in one of my clinics, and I just started loping my wonderful horse around there, and it's really pretty nice. I hope everybody gets to watch that. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna listen to one of Marianne's great songs called "When You Carry Me," and this ties right into this conversation about our horses and. I've got to pay some bills. Marianne, do you know about our Legacy Club?
Maybe I don't.
Let me tell you about our Legacy Club. It's a free membership for our listeners, and you can go to our website, equestrianlegacy.net, and enroll in that. You receive great discounts and special offers from our sponsors, and we have a weekly, monthly, and a tremendous year-end giveaway for our Legacy Club members. So we have a drawing each week and each month to award our members something from our great sponsors, one of which is Hydro Horse, and they have a revolutionary two-horse watering system that's portable. Put that right in your trailer, and your horse doesn't have to worry about strange water when they get where they're going. And that's HydroHorse.com.
I want one.
Go enroll in the Legacy Club, and you'll be entered automatically in the drawing for that. So that's at EquestrianLegacy.net. But we're going to listen to "When You Carry Me," and when we come back, we're going to talk more about the Thomasini Training Center. And again, you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard worldwide online.
What is this love that runs so deep? We try to be the best that we can be for them with every stride and every move. It's up to us to prove it is a dance between horse and man, spirits in unity. I will be true when I ride you in perfect harmony. Are big, their bodies strong, their feet are sure. It's up to us to mirror them with every step and every touch. We will earn their trust. It is a dance between horse and man. With fluidity. I will lead. I want you to believe in me.
Something that I took from your website, and that says that soft feel is the language of lightness in the conversation between horse and rider. And tell us a little bit about what you do there at Thomasina Training Center.
I have a fair amount of clients for local lessons here in Santa Rosa in the Sonoma County area, and everybody has a different discipline, from reining to just trail riding to pleasure riding, enjoying their horse more. And so what I teach, we call it fusion horsemanship, which is just using the classical principles of dressage, which makes Western riding better. There's the principles of dressage are there to cause a horse to become more athletic, to move off of his hind end more than pounding off on the front end. And it's with the soft feel and learning to respond to a horse properly in a way he can understand, it should make riding more enjoyable, more athletic for both the horse and the rider. Terry, you have a good way of pronouncing that too. Why don't you?
I guess one little thing I want to make sure that we make very clear when we're talking about dressage, it's not what most people think of, which is the fairly heavy-handed German dressage that we're seeing today in the last 100 years around the world, stadium dressage. This is really the classical dressage that was developed in Spain and France and Portugal that really came into this country with the conquistadors and the vaqueros. It's really vaquero-based classical dressage from the old school. And in a way, Eitan was thinking he might have made a mistake by putting the term dressage and cowboy dressage, because a lot of Western riders initially think, ain't no way I'm going to wear those funny little things, go around the arena and, you know, keep my horse, you know, held up so tightly like that. So we're kind of marketing and letting people know this is Western, this is cowboy, this is vaquero-influenced, light, 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 and it's really a dance. And watch some of Eitan's videos and some of Susan's videos, and if it's done right, you don't even see their cues as they're dancing with their horses. And it makes for a wonderful cow horse and a wonderful trail horse and just a great partnership. And I'll stop babbling now. It's your turn.
What else that I do is giving clinics, which has become real popular in the past 20, 30 years, where people bring, say, 10 to 15 people bring their horses for 2 days up to maybe 4 days and ride with a specific teacher, practicing these different elements, working on developing the greater communication with their horse. Everybody of all levels comes, and basically the same principles apply to all levels. It's just doing the basics better. And we have a wonderful time where people have problem horses, and they usually leave with a far better experience. I'm real good at – God's given me a real gift to see what the issue is and what the solution to the problem. This past weekend, I gave a 2-day clinic with some folks, wonderful women, and there was one horse that has this particular problem, and I was scratching my head through the whole time I went. So I got on this gal's horse, And he didn't want to go in a straight line, which is usually difficult for a horse to do anyway. So I went, well, if he doesn't want to go a straight line, how about if I make the circles really tiny? And after I made tiny circles, then the horse said, can I make a straight line? I went, go for it. So that's the kind of thing I have to work towards. Right, make him think it was his idea.
Right.
And it's never a battle. If you have a battle, you've lost immediately. The horse knows that from the beginning.
But, and let me interject. The great, great horsemen think like that, Susan, and you are one. That's why you are, because it's the psychology. Once you learn feel and all that stuff, that's absolutely lots of experience and a huge part of it. But it's the psychology. And that's what separates the women from the girls or the men from the boys, whatever you want.
Right.
Is understanding, is making that decision in a training session when to do that, how then to make the right thing easy and the wrong thing difficult.
Right.
So,
Horses think the complete opposite of people. Usually when there's a problem, if you think what would be like, how do you get a straight line? Do lots of circles. How do you get a horse to stop? Ask him to go forward. You can't make him stand still, but you can make him ask, can I stand still now? You say, gee, that was a great idea.
Yeah.
And then the fight is gone and the horse thinks you're brilliant, and then he's more willing to do what you ask the next time.
Okay.
Hey, see, all those little nuggets, that's why I want to ride with you.
Oh, good. Okay.
We'll figure that out.
Well, as I'm sitting here listening to this conversation, I'm thinking that we really need to have a clinic out here in Tennessee. And and if we just knew somebody that had a nice arena where that could be done, that would be great.
You can even a flat field works fine too, because real riding is done where there's real land and up and down hills. There's no place that you can't practice all of these things. In fact, a horse usually works better out in the open. So,
I have a fabulous place, and we'll talk about that when we're not on the air. But the only issue here, you know, you live in such a dry climate that you don't have the fear of a rain out, and that's our issue here. So we'll figure that out. Gary,
I'm a true sanguine, and if it's not fun for the horse, you know, it's not worth it. So,
Well, tell us, and we'll have to work on that. I think we've mentioned that before one time, but we really need to do that. Where is your next clinic, Susan?
My husband schedules all the clinics, and Mr. Tomasini, would you please tell us? I'm the talent. I ride. He takes in the money. He makes the scheduling. It couldn't be better.
Does he have a single brother?
No, he doesn't.
I'm teasing.
I was wondering if he had a... I just wondered if
you
had
a
single sister. That was I was thinking. Yeah,
oh, there you
I was
go.
Thinking, yeah.
Terry, we're
both
we don't have anything scheduled.
Yeah, actually, we've just wrapped up our 2014 schedule, and we'll be rolling out the 2015. Now, between now and the end of the year, we may have some short notice workshops as we're maybe tuning up people's horses for like the Cowboy Dressage World Gathering and things such as that. It's kind of interesting. I'll make a little brief comment here. We just recently moved Susan's operation horses into a facility that has a beautiful covered arena. So for the first time, we're not going to be bound by inclement weather either. But since that just happened, we hadn't scheduled anything into the rainy season. So, again, a little plug if folks are interested, either, like Susan on Facebook, Tomasini Training Center, or go to the website or sign up on the email list, and we'll keep you clued in not only to workshops and events and clinics, but also training tips and fun stuff that we keep coming across.
I just ran into a couple from New Zealand the other day, and they asked me to come out, and I went, okay. Send me the ticket, so we'll have to see if that works. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
It's fabulous there. It's just a super long flight, but you can do it.
I know. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, I wanted to ask too now, and I bet 8 is listening, or if not, he'll listen to the replay of this on our podcast, but the Cowboy Dressage World Gathering and Finals is coming up, and what are the dates on that?
That is the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th of November. It is, last year was our first official finals gathering. It was fabulous. People stayed until the very last moment of the Sunday night. I can't say enough wonderful things about it. There is going to be I believe it's a free clinic on Thursday before the classes start. And we all stand around and we cheer each other on. Every single one of the cowboy dressage tests in the court lasts no more than 5 minutes. You can enter at any level that you wish. The rules for cowboy dressage are literally 2.5 pages on an 8.5, 11 sheet of paper.
Because
oh,
that's
we
great.
We enforce right what is best for the horse. So
oh,
that's
great.
And it's a lot of, and another, Mariana and I are perfectly understanding that it's the dress is half the fun.
<That's>,
yeah.
The hats.
I know. I have more boots than shoes now, but who's counting? So.
y'all look great online. Yeah.
Now, tell us again one time so people can make sure to get this. The website
sure.
is what?
TomasiniTrainingCenter.com.
Okay.
And the website, you can also find out about Cowboy Dressage World Gathering through our website, or you may go to CowboyDressageWorld.com to find out more about the gathering. I highly recommend it for everyone. It's just a lot of fun in a beautiful setting.
Well, yeah. That's great. It's exciting. It should be a great event, and we want to encourage folks to connect with Susan and Terry and take advantage of her clinics and get involved out there in that area as well. I want to talk just a little bit about Anna.
Yeah.
And Terry yeah. or Susan, either one, share a little bit about Anna. This is your granddaughter.
Right.
Do you want me to do that, Susie, or do you
sure.
want to?
Sure. You can go ahead.
Yeah, well, we've got a daughter and son-in-law live fairly close to us, three precious granddaughters, 9, 7, and 5, and about 4 months ago, the 5-year-old was diagnosed with a very rare form of brain cancer. And kind of changed everybody's life a bit. She's an absolute delight. She always has been, came out of the womb smiling and happy, and even through her struggles, she's maintained that. So
right.
From the medical standpoint, the doctors have said this is a very rare form that has never medically been either healed or placed into remission. So that's a little bit sobering, obviously. One thing I'll say, our entire extended family, very close, very strong faith in God, very strong living, active faith and with Christ as our basis. So what's keeping us going here is, number one, God is good. He knows best. Anna's times and days are in His hands. And day by day, we're just going forward with that. So we've set up a little, we're calling it Anna's Fund. And it's both to help the kids pay for some of the bills that they're coming their way above. They got very good insurance, but still, little one was in pediatric ICU for almost a month. So it's probably $1 million-plus bill. Thank goodness insurance will cover most of that. So we're trying to get people to join Anna's team, not just to help the kids and Anna, but it's also going to help fund research and encouragement to kids and families who've got, pediatric brain cancer. So we're just really involved in this, learning how to live and day by day and be as full as possible, as normal as possible. So if anybody has any interest, just for information, again, I'll make a little plug here. It's annas-fund.org. You'll see the story. The main thing we're asking for, obviously, is people's prayers, and if they're in a position to donate a little something, great, that would be fine. But we're just trying to get the word out. Life happens, and we just have to believe that God's plan is being played out, and it will eventually work out, for the good, whatever that means, and that keeps us going day by day. So,
right.
Thanks for the opportunity.
We've had quite a few local businesses which have redone Anna's family's home with cement work, putting on a new roof, putting heaters. They were in a very old house that needs a lot of work, and we're just very grateful to all these people who have donated their time and enormous amounts of funds to renovating the house so that it's, we call it Anna-friendly for the time that she still has with us.
So, let me make one little last little story that I'll give you an idea. She has never complained.
Not
she
once.
Gets up in the morning and smiles. Anna, can we help you? Nope, I can do it myself. She's not in pain. The doctors have said she can do anything that she's up to. We don't know if she's got a couple of days or a couple of years or 80 more years. That's really getting in God's hands. But last week she went in for her monthly checkup with the oncologists and neurology team and what all. And she was so excited about going back to the hospital to see her hospital friends. She spent about 3 hours the day before making gifts for each one of them and went over to the hospital and to the doctor's offices with
right.
bags full of gifts. So she's always thinking of others more than herself, which is such a,
right.
a motivation and an example, you know, to me. So anyhow.
And this the fact of Anna being so pleasant like that, we're not exaggerating. That's why all of us are just standing in awe. I can understand why God might want her to be with him sooner. She's a precious girl, so we're very grateful.
Yeah, thanks,
well,
Gary.
Well, we want to share that. We've shared that on our Facebook pages. We're going to put this on our website so people can connect.
Oh, bless you.
Right. Yeah.
And,
all right.
So anyway, our children are precious. I have five beautiful granddaughters, and so far, gratefully, they're all healthy. And
right.
so these children are precious to us, and so we'll put that on our website and help make people aware of that as well. Our horse family stretches from coast to coast and around the world, and just such great folks like the Tomasinis and like Mary Ann Kennedy and so many others that we encounter in this journey of horses and music. And so we all can do what we can to help, and prayers are certainly a powerful tool, so we'd encourage people
yes.
to do that.
Amen.
So anyway, this has been great, as always, to have Mary Ann Kennedy on the show, and we'll have to have you back on pretty soon. Maybe we can get the Pirellis on. They're going to be in Tennessee, I think, later in November.
I know it's hard with four of us and a couple women, but I just want to say thank you, Gary, and what an honor to share it with Susan and Terry. It's great talking with you guys, and let's continue on a phone sometime.
Yeah. Yeah, likewise, Mary Ann. Gary, it's just a real honor to be speaking with you, but as well to be hooked up with Mary Ann. I just... In my next life, I'm going to be a singer like her, if God's willing.
And in my next life, I'm going to be not just a student of the horse like I am, and I'm passionate. I'm going to be awesomely gifted horseman like you.
Great.
Let's go.
And Terry, when I come back, I want to shop like these ladies do for hats. So we'll have to connect. So,
and I'm
anyway.
Going to go try to mine some gold so I can keep them happy.
Oh, you guys, this is too much fun. It's
been great to have Susan and Terry with us. Thank you guys very much for taking the time to do that. And Mary Ann, as always, thank you. So hope to talk with all of you soon.
Right.
And we're going to close this segment out with another great song from Mary Ann, and this is one called Who Saved Who, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you.
hope you have enjoyed today's show on Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we invite you to join us on Sunday morning for a new show, Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. And Belinda brings us an hour of great conversation with some of the Western music world's greatest artists and inspirational song. It will be an hour that will bless your heart and lift your spirit. So be sure and tune in to Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., and you can listen at equestrianlegacy.net. And again, we hope you've enjoyed the show. We appreciate our sponsors and would encourage you to visit them on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And we also have a new mobile app. It's free. You go to our website and download that app there. And we're hearing people with great comments and tickled with the mobile app. So you can listen on the go around the world to Equestrian Legacy Radio from our new mobile app, as well as from equestrianlegacy.net. We remind you, as always, if you've climbed in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Thanks for listening.
May the good Lord take a liking to ya. May he spread his blessings on your trail. May he be your guide anywhere you ride, and be always your host when you're needing him most. May the good Lord take a liking to ya. May your prayers for comfort never fail. And till someday you make a dream come true with the making you've never. Take a liking to ya. May he ride beside you all the way. May he be your pal in your life corral, and be part of your team when you lasso a dream. May the good Lord take a liking to ya. May your wishes never go astray. And if someday you find a love that's true, with the finding you've nothing to do. Fade. And till someday you make a dream come true.